Father, I thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, that you would give me the words to say. Help me, Lord, to get the point across that you want, Father. I pray you just prepare our hearts for what you have for us this evening. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you would open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight I'm going to talk about something that's not new. It shouldn't be new to you as a Christian, but it's something that we can all increase in. It's something that we can all continue to work on. I'm going to read a few passages real quick, and then I'll jump into Hebrews 11. But first, Galatians 5, 22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And then Ephesians 6, 10-18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, does anybody know what I'm preaching on? Faith. Faith is in both of those passages. Two of the passages that is the best to memorize for your Christian growth, faith is mentioned in both of those. What is faith? Look at you, if you would, Hebrews 11. We'll read verse 1 to 3. Hebrews 11, 1 to 3 says this: "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Faith is the process of you trusting in God and what He said and what He will do. Faith is how we believe in creation. So that those verse says there that it, without faith, we wouldn't be able to believe in creation. Without faith, we'd all be evolutionists. Faith is a crucial part for a Christian. Briefly, real quick, why faith is so important. First, faith is crucial for salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's the faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, on what He did on Calvary, and Him being raised again the third day. That faith is needed for salvation. There's nothing you can do for salvation. There's no way for you to get to heaven without faith. Faith is crucial for your salvation. Secondly, faith is crucial for your security. Ephesians 6, 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." If you want to overcome temptations, if you want to be able to be for sure you know where you're going when you die, if you want to be able to overcome the pulls of the world and the pulls of your flesh, you need faith. You need faith in God's promises. You need faith in God's word. Thirdly, faith is crucial for service. Hebrews 11, 6, if you would read with that one with me. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." If you want to serve God, you need faith. If you want to do anything for God, you need faith. Now, if you're saved in here, you've started on your faith. You've laid the strong foundation of salvation. If you've if you've overcome some of the wiles of the devil, some of the darts, you've got used your faith for security. If you've given your life to the Lord and said, God, I want to serve you, you're going to have to increase in faith. Fourthly, you need faith for your surrender. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to serve God, you have to sacrifice your life. Not by killing yourself, not by killing an animal. You have to sacrifice your daily life, a living sacrifice. And that takes us into the rest of the passage. If you would, look at Hebrews 11:4. Hebrews 11:4 says this, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. One of the things that we need to be able to do is win the lost to Christ. One of the greatest tools that you have at your possession to win the lost to Christ is your faith. You can show the lost your faith by what you can sacrifice. Whether or not you can live a life that's sacrificed unto God, whether or not you can sacrifice a little more time here at church, a little more time out on door knocking, a little more time in the nursery, a little more time in the Sunday school class, a little more time, God wants you to sacrifice more time. God wants you to sacrifice a little more money. Give more money to the church. God, when we give God that 10%, that's not sacrifice. That's what God requires. When you go above that 10%, then you're starting to sacrifice. You know, the widow and her two mites, God said that the rich give out of their abundance. But the widow gave of her need. And that's when she started to sacrifice. What else can you sacrifice? Maybe you can sacrifice your comfortability. I don't know about you, but I know God called me to preach, and I love the fact that I can preach, but every time I get up in front of people to preach, I get nervous. I start to sweat. I get the jitters a little bit. I get nervous. It's out of my comfort zone. Can you sacrifice your comfort zone for God? Can you sacrifice maybe a warm bed for a week or two and go on a missions trip? Maybe God wants you to be a full-time missionary. Can you sacrifice the comfort of home, the comfort of having family nearby, the things that make life easy? God requires us to sacrifice things. Next, look at verse 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because he had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We can show the lost our faith in what we hope for. And what we hope for is the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to bring that before the lost time and time again. When we're witnessing, the Bible says some of them by fear being saved. We need to let the lost know that Jesus Christ is coming back. We have to keep our eyes on the hope of his return. You can show the lost your faith by what you hope in. And then look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I don't know about you, but Noah is a fascinating character in the Bible. It really is. For 100 to 120 years, it took Noah to build the ark. So God gave him the commandment to build the ark, and he went and started chopping down a tree, one at a time. And after that, how many of you guys have ever done anything with wood? I have. I did woodworking in high school. It's a lot of work when you're working with wood. And he made logs, and then he made planks, and tree after tree after tree, and plank after plank after plank, and carving the bark away, and carving it. And you know, the Bible calls the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness as well. So not only did he sit there and work, and tree after tree, and plank after plank, but he preached on righteousness at the same time. Do you know why? Because the Bible says that he feared what God said he was going to do. We have to have that same fear. We have to have the fear of when we sin, if we sow corruption, we will reap corruption. If we sow in sin, we're going to reap, the flesh is going to reap that the results of that. We have to have that fear to keep ourselves clean. We have to have that fear that Noah had that let him not only work for 100 to 120 years cutting logs and storing up food, but also to preach and tell the lost, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not a week from now, but today. But again, Noah had fear that boggles my mind. Because not only did he finally get the ark built and God had him call all the animals in and all the animals came in and he got everything ready and God said, all right, in 7 days the floods are coming. And now this is something that had never happened before. Water coming down from the sky had never happened. And he, the whole time, he's telling the lost world, get saved, there's a judgment coming. We have to have that same fear. But not only that, he got in the ark and he sat down and his family's all in the ark, the animals are all there, and all right, flood's coming. And a day went by and nothing happened. The flood's coming! A day went by and nothing happened. The flood's coming! A day went by, and finally that flood came. You know, the Bible says that God Himself shut the ark. That takes some fear to wait for 3 days and realize, in my mind, I'd be thinking, maybe I was wrong. Maybe there's not a flood coming. You know, maybe I'm waiting, God, please send this flood. And, you know, not that you want people to die, but you want to be right. We have to have that fear. Faith in the judgment of God. And then you can read it, verse 8 to 19 for the sake of time. I'm not going to read it, but you can read how Abraham walked by faith and how God called him from his home. God called him from his comfortability. God called him from everything he knew. And each step that Abraham took away was a step by faith. A lot of times we don't know what God has in store for us. A lot of times we don't know what the end result is. A lot of times we don't know the plan or the route that God is going to take us on. Sometimes it's today I have faith in God. And then tomorrow I'm going to have faith in God. And the next day I'm going to have faith in God. One of the things that stirs my heart for the ministry I'm involved in is on a Sunday, whenever the Wings men are together, we get together and pray, and on our prayer list is about 60 missionaries. And of those 60 missionaries, 7 of them have come off the field or just about to come off the field for various reasons, some health, some age, some other things. With no national pastor to carry that ministry on and no other missionary to carry that ministry on. I've got a burden to find 7 families to go and replace those missionaries. And from personal experience, I believe that there are missionaries that are sitting in pews in the United States that have been called who are not answering God's call. Whether because of fear, whether because you don't want to sacrifice, whether because the walk is too hard, I believe that there are missionaries that need to answer God's call. Then you can read in verse 20 to 22 on Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and how they preached the word of God by faith. We need to not only answer God's call, but we need to study God's word. We need to know God's word. We need to know the promises of God's Word. We need to know the things that God wants us to know out of His Word. We've got to have faith in God's Word. And then you can read on 23 to 31 and the actions of Moses and how the Bible says that by Moses, his faith, the Red Sea was parted. By Moses' faith, that rod, when he struck the rock, the waters came out. Now, God did it. God had the power. It was through God's power. But God uses a man. God used Moses' faith to part the Red Sea. He didn't use my faith. He didn't use Miriam's faith. He didn't use Aaron's faith. He used Moses' faith. And then the hard part of the message. Look, if you would, verse 37 to 40. Hebrews 11, 37 to 40. I lost my spot here. Hold on. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, and were slain with the sword, and wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good report, report through faith, received not the promise. For God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. All these men of the Bible, I meant to read it earlier on, but it talks about Gideon and Samson and David and Samuel and Barak and the mighty things that God did through these men. And these men had faith without receiving the promise. That promise being Jesus Christ. How much more faith should we have than them, knowing what Jesus Christ did? They had to look forward to Jesus Christ. We can look back and see Jesus Christ, and forward and see Jesus Christ. We have to increase in faith. When I think of different things that can help us lead the lost, is tribulation and trials. One of the best things that we have that can be a good testimony and an encouragement and a path to lead the lost to Jesus Christ is what we can go through as Christians. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at Paul, probably the most famous missionary, Paul the Apostle. You would look at verse 23 to 27. It says this. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was I stoned. Thrice suffered a shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings oft, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings oft, in hunger and thirst, in fastings oft, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul went through some things. Paul went through some things because of his faith. But Paul came through the other side of those things because of his faith. Sometimes God sends us trials and tribulations, not because he wants to punish you, not because it's fair, but because he wants you to be a testimony of what God can do. How God can get you through to the other side. In conclusion, how many of you guys like to hunt? Do you have any hunters in here? I know Alaska, I like to hunt. I lived up here for 6 years. I lived in a town called Northway for 2 of those 6 years. And in a village in Northway, they do hunting a little differently. They camp out on a mountaintop, and they go out in groups of about 20 people. And so they wake up early in the morning and they got binoculars and they look over the valley and it's got lakes and rivers and ponds and, you know, for miles. And they find out where all the moose are and they wake everyone else up and say, all right, well, the moose are here and the moose are there. And they drop us off along the river in groups of two for miles and miles. And then all day it takes us to kind of encircle where they saw the moose. And you, once you get to the spot you were told to go, you kind of turn in and circle and get it gets smaller and smaller. And whoever sees the moose first, they shoot and will get on the radio and say, I'm going to shoot. And they shoot and get the moose. So I was out there one time and I was with my cousin and I had been out there a few days in a row and we were told to go this direction. And so we had walked for about 2 miles and my thighs and my calves, all, you know, both legs locked up on me, and I was cramping. I was rolling on the ground in pain. And I said, you know, told my cousin, you go ahead. I don't want you to miss out on the moose. And so I sat there for about 15 minutes, and I finally worked the cramps out. And I got up, and I went in the direction I thought I saw him go. And so I'm walking for another mile and a half, and I get to these trees, and I hear something in the trees. And so I get on the radio. And I said, hey, I step out of the tree. I said, hey, I'm over here. Is this what the moose is? And they said, where are you? And I come out, and like, I'm over here. And they said, no, that's the wrong spot. There was no moose there, but there's a bear. There was a bear there yesterday. So I turned, and I got out of the woods, and I headed in the direction they told me to go. And about a mile, I hear bang, and then another bang. And so I start to run to where I heard the gunshots. And I heard on the radio, hey, who's that in a gray sweater? And I had a gray sweater, and I said, me? And they're like, yeah, you. The moose is right across the swamp in front of you. So I ran across the swamp, and it was about waist to knee-high swamp. And they said, zigzag through the woods. And so I zigzagged back and forth through the woods. And they said, nope, it's back at the swamp. Go across the swamp again. So I ran back across the swamp. Now zigzag through those woods. And so I zigzagged through those woods and said, nope, it's back at the swamp. So I ran back to the swamp again. And sure enough, there's the moose. And I'm sitting there. Bang! The moose drops. Moose gets back up again. Bang! Moose drops. Moose got back up again. Bang! Bang! The moose drops. Moose got back up again. I had lost my ammo pack and I used all my rounds and I was like, click, click. Right then, somebody else came out of the woods with a scope and phew, got him once in the head. We got up to the moose and I shot 4 times and I hit him 4 times. Now, what does that have to do with my message? Faith operates a lot like that. A young Christian, whether you're saved as you're a young person or saved or old, you wake up in your Christian life and you look over the valley. You look over what your life can be. You look over the different possibilities. And God directs you to something. And so you get out there, maybe you're alone, maybe you have somebody with you, and you start taking those steps in faith that I was talking about. And you start heading towards the goal. Maybe God sends you an ailment, a sickness, a disease, something to distract you, you think. And you get through that, and maybe you got up and you went off in the wrong direction, a wrong belief, a wrong, you know, something not right. And God sends you something like a bear or something to scare you back in the right direction. And you get encouraged because you see victories by others near you. And you see, you know, someone gets, you know, you hear the gunshots and your steps get wider and you'll be able to get more done for God. And then it seems like you get run ragged. I mean, you run over here and go do this and run and go do this and spend time here and spend time there and you're exhausted. And you finally get to the goal and you think you're done and you take a shot and you miss and you take a shot and you miss and you take a shot and you miss. And then somebody else comes and gets the goal. Faith is a lot like that. It'll take you places you never imagined. You'll accomplish things you never imagined. Sometimes it doesn't even seem like you got anything done with faith. Think of missionaries that have went to a native village and never saw anyone get saved. But they planted many seeds. And somebody else will come and reap the reward. And somebody else will come and pluck that fruit. We need to strive to have faith like these men in Hebrews 11. You know, Matthew chapter 12, verse 20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. we need to increase in our faith. We need to be able to step out and get out of our comfort zone for God. We need to be able to sacrifice some more stuff for God. We need to increase in our faith. I really believe that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Christians in the United States that God has called to the mission field that are not answering God's call. There are more missionaries coming off the field today than go on. God's word says, the fields are white unto the harvest, but the laborers are few. Maybe God would have you be a laborer. You just need to increase your faith and start taking the steps by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to increase our faith. Lord, give us the faith as a mustard seed so that we can move the mountains. Lord, give us the faith as Moses so we can do great and mighty works for you. I pray this and ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Pastor.
Amen. Lord, worked on your heart.